Welcome to the Seek 24 podcast. My name is John Michael Lucido, and this podcast will feature some of our favorite podcasters recorded live at the Spoke Street Media Booth during Seek 24 in St. Louis. We hope these give you a glimpse of the energy and passion from the conference and help you in your faith journey. Enjoy.
Hey, this is the Poco Poco Podcast, Seek 24. What's up? So we thought that Father Isaiah over here, Father Mark Mary, Father PT, normally if you listen to the podcast, you hear, come follow me. And so Father Isaiah is just going to open us up with a live, come follow me. And then we'll get into it.
All those driving in cars right now, if you could help me out, sing with me now. All you moms driving minivans with your kids, come sing with me now. Everybody here at Seek, how you guys feeling? All right, if you could help me out. The foxes have the dens, yeah, and the birds have their nests. But the son of man, yeah, has nowhere to lay his head. I said the foxes have the dens, yeah, and the birds have their nests. But the son of man, yeah, has nowhere to lay his head. Still he say, come follow me, come follow me, come follow me, my child. Come follow me, come follow me, come follow me, my child, yeah. Come follow me, come follow me, come follow me, my child. Come follow me, come follow me, come follow me, my child. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. PT, can you do that part? The little high part? All right, we'll come back to that.
Okay.
Poco a poco vamos a llegar. Somos peregrinos and you know that's what we are. We make our way. Hey, hey. Little by little we learn a little more each day that God is love. That life is short, that all will be well. And I know all will be well in His time. Come follow me, come follow me, come follow me, my child, yeah. Come follow me, come follow me, come follow me, my child. Come follow me, come follow me, come follow me, my child, yeah. Come follow me, come follow me. Come follow me, my child. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 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 So I take up my tent and I'll follow you. I got my guitar in my hands, but I ain't singing the blues. No, you make me smile. Oh, how you make me smile. And though I stumble along with all my cares and my troubles, it seems you never leave and always help me when I stumble. It's a wonder how you love me so, yeah. And I love it how you let me know, yeah. Come follow me, come follow me, come follow me, my child, yeah. Come follow me, come follow me, come follow me, my child. Come follow me, come follow me, come follow me, my child, yeah. Come follow me, come follow me, come follow me, my child. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 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 But here's the thing. I wanna let you leave, but now I'm struggling, see. I got my cares, I got my worries, and I got my needs. So I think you got the wrong guy. I thank you, good Lord, but I politely decline. Then you come to me, speaking so softly, but speaking to me. I will carry you, child. I will carry you, child. I will take care of you, and I'll be there for you. I'll never leave you, and I'll always bear your cares for you. I will carry you, child. I will carry you, child. I will take care of you, and And I'll be there for you. I'll never leave you, and I'll always bear your cares for you. I will carry you, child. I will carry you, child. I will take care of you, and I'll be there for you. I'll never leave you, and I'll always bear your cares for you. I will carry you, child. I will carry you, child. I will take care of you, and I'll be there for you. I'll never leave you, and I'll always bear your cares for you. Then lead on, kind of light, and let your love be my side through this wilderness of life where we all just passing by. Cause with you by my side, why need I fear, why need I hide? I only need to sing, so take my prayer and let it rise. Lead me on, my shepherd king. Lead me on, my everything. Lead me on, oh kindly light. Lead on and let me sing. Come follow me, come follow me. Come follow me, my child, yeah. Come follow me, come follow me. Come follow me, my child. Come follow me, come follow me. Come follow me, my child, yeah. Come follow me, come follow me. Come follow me, my child. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 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 Amen.
PT on falsetto.
Thank you. Thank you. That was tough.
Not as tough as being not invited.
Wow.
To perform.
Oh,
I think.
I must have forgot. I must have forgot.
Was your mic on?
I didn't see you there.
was your mic on or off?
No, it's on. No, it's working.
Okay.
Can you hear it? No, yeah. It's working great. Yeah. I don't know. I could jump in there.
I forgot you were right here.
Yeah, okay, it happens. So here we are. Thanks, Father. You don't have to hold the guitar the whole time if you don't want to. Okay, good. A little comfort guitar. So Father PT was here last year. Some of you know that, except he was sick.
I was.
So he didn't get to come out of his room. So already a step in the right direction for Father PT.
That's right.
Well done.
Thank you.
Father Isaiah was Father Isaiah last time. I think you did good.
Yeah, this is great. Good to be here.
So as the... I've done a number of Sikh things. One of the things you don't... There's like... Especially kind of the more you do it and the more people come and stop you, a lot of people ask you the question, like, what's it like? What's Sikh like this? And there's a lot of things people think. One of the things that's been coming out, kind of reflecting on it like last night, is we meet a lot of people. You take a lot of pictures. Something that we forget is that nobody's batting 100% in human interactions.
Right.
Or in pictures. And so maybe you meet, you know, even if you're hitting like 950, you're doing great. You meet 100 people, maybe there's like 50 little interactions that's like, well, I was awkward, or that didn't go that well, or it's like, oh, I had food in my teeth. And those are the things, or, you know, it's like you take the selfie and it's like, well, I hope they have enjoy that memory for the rest of their lives. So that's something that you don't know happens to the Sikh people is we have hopefully a lot of good encounters, but we're going to swing and miss a number of times.
Yeah, and we're sorry if like we're walking away and we're trying to get from one place to another. It's not intentional to push you aside. It's just, especially with Father Mark Mary, it's just tough, you know?
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
Especially with Father Mark Mary, it's just tough being with him?
I mean, in general, it's tough being with you. I love you, but sometimes it's a struggle. But at the same time, it's just, you're going from one place to another. And so you get stopped a lot. And so.
Every good thing is born of a struggle.
Will you carry me?
No, I will not carry you. So, Father Isaiah, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. How are you doing on interactions so far?
Doing good. I made it on somebody's, who's doing the bingo sheets? You know the bingo sheets? They may see that. One of the things is take a photo with somebody with an instrument. So I made it on a bingo sheet. So far, so good. Good to be here.
I'm looking at my writing here.
Can you tell what it says?
Yeah. I'm still, last night, some of you were here, I did the hot wings thing. Did anybody see that? Does anybody know the concept? You know the concept? You kind of, so it's like you're up here and you eat like progressively hotter things.
Yeah, feel more pain.
Feel more pain. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. Well, I mean, that's the thing, right? Because I'm like up here like crying and I can't really talk. But I didn't like throw up, you know?
Right.
Which is kind of what I thought it was going to be. But I'm like reflecting on it and now I'm feeling like, well, that was a stupid answer to that question. Because I'm already not good at Q&A, as Father Isaiah knows.
Now your mouth is on fire.
Now your mouth is on fire, and someone's like...
Your lips are numb.
Tell me about the most important thing in your heart. I'm like...
I can't feel my face.
Yeah, yeah, I have no idea. But one, like, I think so far it wasn't as bad as I thought. One of the things that happens is like harder to get the spicy stuff off my fingers than I thought. And so, like, I, you know, washed it a couple times because I'm not that dumb, you know. But then I go to like throw water on my face, and it's like, okay, now my eyes are burning. And still, if I like scratch anything, I'm still burning. But I think we're headed in the right direction.
You feel like it was a success?
I think it. Honestly, I just wanted to try it, and I survived.
Yeah.
So I was a success.
Good.
Well, it was entertaining and helpful to anybody. I don't know that it like brought anybody closer to Jesus than much. You know what I mean? But I had a good time and had a good experience.
Lost your taste buds.
Mm-hmm. I lost my taste buds. One of these things, we're going to bring you into a little inside thing. Texas, this is... Okay, you're gonna have some investment in this game. So this is Texas. Texas horns up. Sorry about last night. That's not throwing shade. I'm just saying.
Sounds like shade, though.
How many horns down people are out there? A lot of horns down people. This is the question for Father. I've been thinking about it. I'm gonna ask you to go there. Is if you like were a wrestler, like one of the fake wrestlers, WWF, whatever.
Okay.
Would you be like the good guy or the bad guy?
I'd be the bad guy.
You'd be a villain.
Yeah.
I would be PT's enemy, Father PT's enemy, whatever that guy is.
So that makes you a good guy.
Yeah.
Because I feel like you would be a good guy.
All right.
Do you feel like you'd be a good guy?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I'll be a good guy.
And you would definitely be a bad guy.
Whoa. Why definitely?
Because I know you.
It's just a thing. I get a sense.
Yeah, and who are you?
I'm a bad guy,
okay.
For sure.
Okay.
Because here's the thing. I'm not from the South. I'm from California. We don't have too much of a relationship as far as our relationship with Texas. It's like not that big of a thing. But I have a lot of people who I really love and I like really care about a lot who are big horns down people. And I care about them, and it's grown on me, and I've talked about it on the podcast. And one of them taught their like 2-year-old girl, like daughter, less than two, to like do horns down. And it looks like this, and it's super cute. But the more I learn, Nebraska volleyball is horns down. They're not into it. Oklahoma doesn't like them. A&M doesn't like them. Washington, nobody likes Texas. The villain in me is like, what's going on with Texas? You know what I mean? I'm kind of into that. So I'm sure you feel this. I would feel affirmed by the horns down and the hate. It's like my favorite thing in the world, the horns up, horns down thing. But I'm moving that way. I can't say I'm all the way that way. I don't want to betray my friends. Okay. You feel any type of way about that?
No, not really. Because no offense to Texas, no offense to any college. I mean, this is focused, so I can't talk bad about college in general. But I'm not into the college sports as much as you are. And so, or the college thing.
The college scene.
The college scene, culture. Yeah. And so, I don't feel any type of way about that. Sorry.
Before we get into the main thing, any thoughts?
Yeah, before we leave, just a shout out to the UC Irvine Anteaters. So, shout out to the greatest mascot of all time, the Anteater. So, let's go UC Irvine. There it is. Horns up. What does an anteater have? Ears or antenna? Antenna? Antenna?
Kind of looks like
an ant. I don't even know. I gotta go check that anteater out again. Yeah, that's it. I like that. Nose up, anteaters.
That's funny. So the theme we're going to be talking about tonight is kind of going to be inspired by a little work of Father Isaiah, but it's not like the work comes after the word. So Father Isaiah has some new music coming out finally. Yeah. The full album's not going to come out until like June, but the first single is going to come out in January. But the title of the album is Mysteries and Medicines, and there's a whole word and there's a whole vision about it, and just the concept of the mysteries and the medicines, and that is what we're going to be talking about tonight. So Father Isaiah, can you just introduce us a little bit to like what is going on there?
Sure. Yeah, so it's called Mysteries and Medicines, and I guess the question that it's trying to wrestle with is what to do when God comes to us in mystery, right? God comes to us in all sorts of ways. A lot of times ways we can understand. Simple things that we pick up, you know, things that make a lot of sense of a loving God. But sometimes, I actually think a lot of the time, he comes to us in mystery. And things we really don't understand. Things that don't make sense. Things that don't necessarily at first glance look like they're coming from a loving hand. And so the struggle of the album is with what do we do when God comes to us in mystery? When he wants to expand our hearts to who he is in ways beyond our comfort zones, right? Because God's constantly calling us out of our comfort zones, no? Right? Somebody told me once, get out of the comfort zone and into the zone of the comforter, right? The Holy Spirit. But that's out of our comfort zones. And so, that's what it's kind of about. What to do when God comes in mystery. And there's three mysteries I find on a regular basis that God comes to us in. The first one is the mystery of suffering, hardship, disaster, calamity, catastrophe. Anybody know a little bit? Everybody's got a little bit of calamity in their life, right? Well, a little bit of catastrophe or drama, right? Somehow God comes to us in that. Maybe not, you know, direct. It's directly his hand. Sometimes we get hurt by people and by situations and disappointments. But the God of all mystery is definitely in that storm cloud, no? Right? Because where is God not in this world, right? And he comes to us in mysteries. And sometimes it's the mystery of suffering, hardship and trial, things we don't understand. He comes to us in the mystery of the present moment, which a lot of time is super not flashy, right? The ordinariness of our lives. God, you're for real in my life? Like, it's so ordinary. That is a mystery in which he comes to us. And then the third mystery is the sacraments, right? You telling me, like, that? It looks like a poor piece of bread. Like, it's not even like fancy wine. And that's what you use to come to us? Your blood, right? I remember one of our priests said one time, it's not even like a nice wine that the priests use, right? God uses the poor stuff, right? The poor stuff of our lives to make a sacrament, to make his body, his flesh, his blood. And I think one of the things that happens if we're willing to search for God in the mystery is we find out hidden in the storm cloud of that mystery, whatever it is, he hides medicines. And mysteries come to us in all sorts of ways, sometimes not his active will, it's his permissive will. But whatever the case, he uses the mystery to communicate medicines. Medicines for our transformation, medicines for our holiness, medicines for the things we most deeply need to grow, to change, to heal, and to become the children of God he's made us to be. And the whole album's basically just me struggling with that, wrestling with that, not really wanting that, not really getting that. And then occasionally being amazed at the way he just is so intimate and so present, even in the storm cloud, in the difficulty. So I guess that's the start of it. I can expand, but that's kind of the idea.
You want to jump in?
No, yeah, it's thank you for sharing that. It's the thing that resonates with me most is like the ordinariness, because I think all of our lives are somewhat ordinary and somewhat just humdrum and whatever. And like, once again, it's the Lord desires to find us in the ordinary aspects of our life and not necessarily the flashy parts, the extraordinary parts of our life, where I think as humans and it's just as regular people, we look for the flashy, the extraordinary, the thing that is just not ours. And it's beautiful because once again, like the Lord comes in ordinary ways, as you said, but like in the present moment, there's a passage in 2 Samuel 23, verse 11 to 12. Father Isaiah, you appreciate this. Father Isaiah, myself and Father Mark Mary used to live together. And Father Isaiah used to call me the scripture scholar, Ehud, the scripture scholar, which is a random aside. But anyway, so they're just talking about King David's men. And there was just one guy, don't even know his name, but it's there. He was, sorry.
Nice one.
Say something. Okay, next him was Shammah, the son of Agi the Harite. The Philistines gathered at Lehi, where there was a plot of ground full of lentils. And the men fled from the Philistines, but he took his stand in the midst of the plot and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. To say that this man, like in the campaign of David, here's your job. Just stand here and guard this plot of lentils. Like, seriously? Like, I can't go out and do something more extraordinary, like more, like, flashy. But he was faithful to what God asked him to do in the ordinary, and he wrought a great victory for the Lord because there was an attack. And I think, once again, if we live in a place that's not the ordinary and the extraordinary, if my life was just this way, it'd be so much better. Where God desires to meet us in the ordinary, in the present moment, because that's where he finds us, and that's where he desires to be found. And so I just appreciate that word, but also, too, just... For me, it's doubling down in that place where I've just a heart check, if you will, where if I find myself daydreaming or wanting to go, or like I think in this extraordinary way I could serve the Lord, that's like a place where I need to kind of step back and ask the Lord, like, what do you want for me in this ordinary moment? So
that's sort of the way it's making sense to me in a real situation. It's just kind of the mystery of sin. And the Lord, right? Like, we ask the Lord for grace and we ask the Lord to leave these things behind, and he can do it like right now. Like, he can give us the grace of like radical holiness and to leave behind whatever the sin is, like immediately. He has the power to do that. But in some mysterious way, he doesn't do that. In some mysterious way, and I think part of the medicine in there is he doesn't give us sort of the grace of perfection right away. And that's mysterious why, but I think the medicine is like foundationally, first and foremost, he wants us to receive and to experience like his love while we're imperfect. Like he wants to bring us out of the sin, but also like it's so important that even while we're broken, even while we're sinful, like we know like his unconditional love and his love for us. And I think that is, if you will, like in one instance, sort of the medicine that's in the mystery.
Yeah, the place where this is like coming to a head for the most for me is I was just ordained about a year and a half ago, just became a priest. And by far the greatest joy of the last year and a half has been the confessional. Like I love the sacrament of confession, joy of my life. But the thing I see again and again and again is God takes in the confessional, it's so crazy. He takes the mystery of iniquity and he turns it into a mystery of intimacy, right? We come in with our worst and we leave with reminders of his love in ways we've never heard before. And it's kind of this thing, right? He allows the struggle to make us something intimate, right? It's kind of mind-blowing, but that's what he does. He bakes with the worst leftovers, right? Mm-hmm. And he bakes a feast for us. And so, yeah, just kind of puzzled by it, startled by it, and wonder and love with it.
I was going to kind of lead us in another direction. Do you have something else that you want to say right here? Ooh. I think we're going to kind of focus on this one particular mystery, which I think I'm still wrestling with, but I think these guys have wrestled with it as well, is part of, if you will, a theme that's going to come out in sort of Father Isaiah's prayer and his lyrics and his music is just this idea, and even in Come Follow Me, is that like the Lord invites us like to follow him and to make the journey, but like he gives us, if you will, light to make the next best step. Like he gives us light to make the next decision. He gives us grace. He gives us our daily bread to make sort of the next step, to continue on the journey. But he doesn't just reveal to us right away the whole path and the whole plan. And it's like, it's mysterious to me of why it feels like it'd be a lot easier if the invitation came with sort of a nice sort of Google Maps thing of here's where we're going to go and a stop and the schedule and stuff. But for some reason in God's perfect providence, he doesn't do that.
Yeah. Mind blowing, right? Why not do the journey with the lights on? But I find most of the time, most of the lights are off, if not all of them, right? And the Lord's just leading us through right beneath the night sky a lot of times. Why all the lights off, or most of the lights off? And I've been kind of chewing on it. And the first thing that came to mind, I don't know if it's a deep answer, but it was the first one that came in prayer, is that would take all the fun out of it. That would literally take all the fun out of the treasure hunt that God has for us, right? Oh yeah, play hide and go seek with all the lights on. That would be the most boring game in the world. It's a treasure hunt. And he keeps it mysterious, right? It's a treasure hunt, following after him, finding him in the mystery, right? And so he leads us step by step. And if you turn the lights on, there'd be no adventure. And ultimately, there'd be no trust, which is the one thing we need to heal, right? His love and our trust. It's the one thing that heals, the one thing that changes us. The one thing by which we grow in his grace, right, is the response of trust, huh?
Yeah, I think the thing that's helpful for me to look at it is just... like in a love relationship. So if a girl likes a guy likes a girl, and like at the onset, like the first date, the guy says to the girl, hey, look, this is how it's going to happen. We're going to go on maybe 20 more dates. We're going to get engaged. And then after that, we're going to get married. It's just, I imagine it'd be overwhelming. Maybe some girls are like, no, I'm okay with that. But
it's a little much.
Yeah. But at the same time, like, I think God doesn't want to overwhelm us with everything. Like, we have the desire to know what we don't know, right? Especially when it comes to our life and God's plans. But I think in a beautiful way, especially in this relationship that he has with us, that he wants to give us more as we can receive it. And he knows our hearts because he's created our hearts for himself. And he knows even the depths in which we struggle. He knows the depths of everything that's going on. And he desires, once again, just to slowly but surely reveal these things to us. And we can be frustrated at times. It's like, if you just told me that like 5 minutes ago, that would have been great. But once again, it's teaching, it's healing. It's a place where he desires to encounter your heart in a slow and sure way.
Yeah. And I think some of the questions or some of the ways, you know, I think we experience this in this group is, you know, okay, like what am I going to do after graduation? What job am I going to do? What's my relationship situation going to look like? Where am I going to live? Am I going to find somebody? How is this thing going to get worked out? Right. These are like really, I think, deep sort of questions that we can feel and wrestle with. These aren't just like flippant things. It's like, these are things that I really struggle with and I really experience and I really want to know the answers to. But for some reason, the good Father the good author still doesn't just reveal them. And I think it's mysterious. And I've been on the journey a little bit, you know, for a few years following the Lord. And my deepest conviction, which I think is the hermeneutic, the approach we have to have towards this, is just like what's not mysterious, what's not in question, is whether or not God is good. What's not mysterious is this story going to turn out well? Like, I think how it's going to turn out, we don't know. But if we approach the mystery, if we approach the thing in our life, if we approach the question with the confidence that God is good, we can have confidence that, okay, whatever is going to happen, I don't quite understand it, but I trust him. I trust him, and I trust that this is the best way. And I think that there's probably... Absolutely. I think no one, it's not a great way to read a book where you read the end and it's like kind of ruins the whole book. You know, I do think that there's some of it is by slowly revealing the joy, it allows the joy to be complete. Also, I think it's a way of like in his mercy kind of protecting us. Like, I'm going to take you someplace and we're going to go on a journey, but you're not quite strong enough to like understand it or to say yes to it. So I'm not going to show you the whole journey yet. It's going to unfold over time. But also, I think there's, like, he is the light, and he shines just a little bit of light for us to make the next best step. And I also think this is to keep us close. Mm. Like part of the medicine is to learn dependence on the Lord. Mm. Part of the medicine is intimacy with him. And if he just gave us the whole plan and the whole this and that, like, our need for him would be different. And it isn't our need for him that we're drawn to him, that we stay close to him, that we grow in intimacy with him. And I think part of the mystery and part of how it can be reconciled with the Father's goodness is just that he's using it and he's drawn us close in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. I often think the Father's the ultimate storyteller, and he's telling a story over your life. And I think my own dad, when I was growing up, I was a little kid, I'd always ask him before I went to bed or to put me to bed, like, hey, tell me a story. And he'd have to come up with this on the spot. And poor guy, every night had to write a new story. But he'd keep me like hanging on his words. I was like, so what happened next? And he wouldn't show the whole story, probably because he didn't know what was going to happen next. He's just trying to put me to sleep. But like hanging on every word, it brought me so close to him. I just fell in love with him as the Father who tells me the story. And I think God the Father wants the same thing. He wants to be this storyteller over your life. And he wants you to hang on every word, on every moment. He wants you to be okay with the cliffhanger because that's part of the adventure and the beauty of it. He wants you to trust that he's got the whole story in mind, even in the difficult chapters. But he does love the intimacy and the dependence that comes from just waiting one word at a time and letting it unfold one page at a time, one word at a time, one chapter at a time, rather than just, okay, here's the cliff notes. I mean, how much would we like to live the cliff notes of our lives? Nobody wants to live the cliff notes, right? I want to live every word, every chapter of that story he's telling, but we have to trust that he's the good storyteller and the ultimate storyteller of everything. So,
yeah, and I think in particular with the Gospels, right, where the disciples are sent out two by two with sack and no money and all these different things. It's once again, Jesus being in this place of total dependence on the Father and wanting the disciples, his apostles, to experience the same thing, because it'll be a lot easier for them to have a credit card or whatever it is for their journey. But then that's self-reliant as opposed to, okay, like, here's this really inconvenient situation. It'd be nice to know where we're going to sleep, but we don't know. And the Lord provides something and your eyes are just open. It's just to see God in a different way. Like, wow, there's all these other things going on, but you care about my life in this way. And I think if we have that mentality and that heart, once again, going back to what you said, Father Mark Mary, like if we actually radically trust God, which it's a struggle day to day to really believe what we say and do what we believe, as far as like trusting him, I think God little by little can open up our hearts, especially when something inconvenient happens, or like, once again, it's just not clear how this is folding into the rest of my life, or even the questions that come up for my future. Okay, Father, I don't know, but you know. And so I trust you in that. Or Jesus, just show me the heart of the Father for this specific thing. And I'll wait with you, type of thing. You know, because once again, going back to the apostles, I think that's where they rested. Like, knowing the face of Jesus and knowing his heart for them. And of course, Jesus is good and he knows the heart of the Father. So of course, this is the way I should go.
And because the answer to a question is simple doesn't mean it's easy. Like, so the answer we're proposing in the mystery of life and the journey is, you know, essentially wait on the Lord or wait with the Lord. And I understand that, okay, that's simple. But when you actually apply it to whatever it is that you're wrestling with, it's like, okay, but like, how do I keep doing it? Like, where does the, why not give up? Why not just get discouraged? Why not just get angry? right? Because it seems like I've been asking, I've been seeking, I've been knocking, I've been waiting for so long, and like the answer hasn't come. So what, like, it almost can feel sort of like unreasonable to continue to wait. And one idea of this, or one sort of way of responding to this, is sometimes I do think that we think about like waiting with the Lord as if almost like, this is kind of a weird example, but like you just got like arrested and they're like, have you in, and you're in that sort of steel room, like all by yourself, and you're just like all there by yourself, and there's somebody else, there's like a one-way mirror, somebody's looking in, but you can't see out. And so like, you're just waiting for someone to come and nobody's coming. And it's like, okay, well, he's like watching you through that one-way mirror, but you can't see him. And you're just like, how long do I wait here? Do I just keep waiting? Like this seems unreasonable. But I think, right, like we wait, like we don't wait alone. We wait in relationship. And so I love the idea of like, if you were like waiting for the meal to be prepared, waiting for whatever the Lord's going to do. And it's like, you're at your family's house and like, whatever, or you're at your house and like, okay, we're having dinner and the father's preparing dinner and he's in the other room and he's preparing it and you can't quite see him, but you can smell it and you can talk to him. And it's like we wait for it. And okay, I'm not going to go grab us another snack. I'm not going to go run to Taco Bell right now. I'm going to like remain here because dinner's not here, but I know it's coming because Dad says it's coming, because I can smell it's coming. I have evidence it's coming. And I do think that this whole idea of getting out of our comfort zone, being in the zone of the comforter, like just waiting is hard, but you're not supposed to do it alone. And if you wait with the Lord and you're staying in a relationship and he's continuing to remind you of his love, like, okay, I love you. I'm with you. I will carry you. I will be with you. I will not leave you. This will be good for you. Like, if we wait like that, even though it hasn't been fulfilled, I think that's where, from that relationship is where the grace to wait with actual hope comes from.
Yeah, I think patience is the most underrated virtue of all, right? Everybody, I want courage, I want trust, but what about patience, right? I bring back patience. So I think it's helpful to just like, let the Lord surprise you about how he sees your patience. Because a lot of times we see our patience as kind of like wasted time, nothing happening in my prayer, nothing happening in this season of my life, just showing up. But let the Lord shine some light on that. Maybe ask him like, Lord, how do you see me being patient? And I think if we know how pleasing our patience is in his eyes, I think you're going to want it a little bit more. I was thinking about this Christmas, like, Lord, how do you see it when I give you the stuff I don't know in my life, the stuff I don't get, the stuff that hasn't worked itself out yet, the things that are still mysteries? And then I saw the ultimate Christmas box being brought to baby Jesus this year. So you had the kings, right? I saw the kings. This one's got gold. That one's got frankincense. That one's got myrrh. And then I walked up this year and I gave God the unknown, the uncertainty of my life, the difficulty. And it was like a combo platter. I had gold, frankincense, and myrrh in one box. Because check it out. Gold, you got to dig for it. You got to dig deep if you're going to be patient. This is like the widow's mite. This is gold. When you are patient, when you wait on the Lord, that's gold to him. It's myrrh. I had to die to myself. I want answers. I want to understand. And it's a death to self that is holy in the Lord's sight, like myrrh. And it's frankincense because it smells good. It's a fragrant offering to the Lord because he sees the struggle of your heart. He sees the stretching and the expansion that this is doing in your heart as you wait on him, because it's all an act of love. Patience just becomes one big love song to the Lord if we let him show it that way. And so I think we need to let him surprise us and let him tell you, Lord, what does my patience look like from your perspective? You know, get a little fired up about that virtue of patience he's trying to form in your heart, you know? Because it's a beautiful thing. It's a big Christmas box for the baby Jesus. Right?
Just two things.
I like that. That was awesome.
This is why you're the man, Father Isaiah.
That's what, right? I was thinking. I'm like, that guy's legit. Yeah.
That's the first thing.
It's like, nice.
Second
one.
Thing is, analogy, man. Where'd you come up with that analogy? Being in a holding cell?
That
sounds terrible.
Whole point was, it sounds terrible. Somebody's looking one way. It's a really good analogy.
I felt lonely as you were describing it.
This past experience.
You got anything else to say? We can go back to Father Isaiah. He's saying beautiful things.
I like the lentil field thing.
Thank you. I appreciate
that. I'm about to fight for my lentil field.
But the perspective of the Father, I think, is the most helpful thing, at least for me, where just thinking about the prodigal son, where every single day, like, the Father never gave up on his son, right? And then we're away, usually from the place where we can experience the Father's love in his house, if you will. And every single day, he's just looking at us, waiting, like, hey, come back. Like, I just want to talk to you about your heart. I want to talk to you about your life. I want to talk to you about these specific things. And And he just, the thing is, the Father just never gives up on us. Like, he never gives up on us. And sometimes that disappointment can kind of speak into our hearts or to our minds of like, what's the point? And it'd be as if the son just laid in the pig's pen, pigsty. And just totally just like, you know what? I'm done. I'm not going to do anything. But once again, the Father just never stopped looking at his son, caring for his son. And even more so, just his heart was with him constantly. And so just to be encouraged in that way that the Father's heart is always for me. He's with me, especially in this place where it feels like a disappointment or it feels like discouragement. Because once again, our Father doesn't speak in the language of discouragement. He doesn't speak in the language of disappointment. And so just immediately once you see that or feel that, okay, that's not my Father's voice. Instead, it's an invitation back to how he looks at me and how he feels about me. And so,
this word of patience, it's like this whole, like, patience is making a comeback. We're going to rebrand patience.
Yeah,
big
let's
push.
Let's do it.
We're going to make the kids come back to church talking about patience. Like, it totally rings true. And it totally is like, well, I don't want that to be the answer. So the answer to this mystery is just to become better at waiting with the Lord. And I think it's beautiful, the gift, and that totally makes sense with me. But patience, of all the things we can be praying for and being excited about, and here's all the places where I want to be excellent for the Lord, to be excellent in patience, like, that would be very low on the draft. Mm. That'd be very low on the draft of, like, where I really wanted to sort of, the one I wanted to get. But it's just true, and it just makes sense. And that's just important. And I'm going to kind of, like, look at, there's a big light out there that I keep looking at because I don't have to look at it. But now I can't really see. I'm, like, seeing spots. I actually can't read it. You have a couple of lines about, like, what's happening in the waiting that are gold, frankincense and myrrh. And can we just kind of talk about some of those and, like, what that means? Like, the thing's happening and something else is happening underneath?
Sure.
Go for it.
So there's a song, Holy Hunger, is one of the songs in the album. And the whole thing is about the holiness of the right hunger that God stirs in us in the waiting, right? Because I think the thing is, we need to see patience as an activity. The problem is we see it as a passive thing, but it's actually an active thing.
Like, waiting in a jail cell? You'd be like, passive. Is
disturbing.
That what you wanted to say?
That's not the rebranding we're going to support here.
Hey, kid, I'm looking at you through this window. It's not my dad.
That's not the patience we're talking about. So the patience that is greatness, the patience that makes for holiness, the patience that expands our heart, is an activity. And there's a million things we can do to make the act of patience. One of my favorites is thanking God ahead of time, right? You think you can't do anything when you're patient? Why not this? Thank God for what he's doing even right now, what you have no idea for, what he's gonna do tomorrow, what he's gonna do about that, you know, 10 years from now that you're worrying about. Why not just thank him ahead of time? Just, I'm blessing you, Lord, for doing that. Thank you. And we can hunger in the patience. This is another one of the activities. Hunger for him. One of the things when God turns out the lights, or when he shuts the doors, one of the things it forces us to do is look straight towards him. And then the idea is to begin to hunger for him more than you've ever hungered before. Before, I hungered for that, this, and the other thing. But now, Lord, I just need you. I just need you. And so one of the lyrics is to let this hunger become a pathway that brings him here to us, right? And this is one of the ways God uses our patience, is that he carves paths in our heart. Through that hunger that we have for him, we start to reach for him, we start to search for him in ways we've never done before. I can't hear you, I can't see you. And all of a sudden, there's this deep longing. This is why he allows darkness in our lives, right? To stir up a hunger that's going to lead us beyond our comfort zones, beyond the terrain we've been in before. And in the waiting, there's a growing, something beautiful to behold. That's the Father's perspective. And again, we always have to come back to this. Father, how do you see this? Because I've written myself off. I've written off this as wasted time or all darkness or I don't know what you're doing. And he sees it so differently. So we need to turn to him and ask him, Lord, how do you see it? And often I find that one of the answers he silently gives is a growing, something beautiful to behold in you. Like, he sees something beautiful in you as it's happening.
I think in the activity too, there's the choosing again, right? Because there's always, again, the temptation just to be like, nah, I'm good. I think a part of it is just the convenience of having things, or the convenience of having answers at our hand. And just stepping into the mystery, stepping into the darkness is difficult. But, like, once again, I don't know if I'm making this up, but patience is basically suffering with, or that's compassion. Anyway, there's something along with suffering and patience.
I think God's planning talked about that a minute ago, so they're good.
Okay, good.
They knew what they're talking about.
but ultimately it is suffering. And what a beautiful way in which like the Lord invites us into this, like once again, this darkness, if you will, to suffer with him, because we at that point in time could just unite our hearts to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane in the sense of like, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Like whatever it is that's going on in my heart and my life, I don't see it, I don't know it, but I'm with you in this. And the beauty is that he desires for us to not just encounter him in that moment, but just to be lifted up and to be held in that moment. But once again, it takes the choosing again of, I'm going to choose to try to encounter you here. I'm going to choose to stay with you as opposed to move past you in this moment and dream and hope for something different. So
can I give one more shout out to the virtue of patience?
Yeah.
Teresa of Avila, what does she say? Patience obtains all. All. I've been thinking about that a lot. Patience obtains all? Are you for real? Everything? Like everything that I need is obtained through patience. And again, she sees this as this active virtue, this active seeking of the Lord that becomes the receiving of everything that we actually need.
And I was just thinking part of the, I really like looking at Christianity and discipleship as this response relationship. And it's, we're able to give what we've received. For example, with mercy, like the grace to be merciful comes just from, again, experiencing again and again the Lord's mercy for us, right? And I think also there's something similar with this with patience. Like by remembering his patience with us, and he's just so patient with us in so many different ways, as a little act of gratitude, and from that place, we can be patient with others, you know? And so I really think that is a place to pray with it. It's like if we're going to ask for patience, if we're going to ask for trust in this mystery, to receive that grace and sort of the daily bread from the Lord's own patience with us. And so guys, in a few minutes or just in a few seconds here, Father Isaiah is going to close us out with a song. But I wanted to, do you have any closing words?
Not really. Should I?
No, you're good.
No, but just a shout out. Thank you guys for supporting the podcast. Thanks for the love that we get. Thank you for, just being with us tonight. It's been a joy. Were you going to say that?
You're going to ask for donations? No, I'm just kidding.
No, you got it.
This is Redeem Team 2024. I was thinking again about last night, the hot wings thing.
Yeah.
One of the questions was something about speakers and people out here who you really admire. And so, of course, like, I was going for the easy answer, you know what I mean? Immediate reach, Father Mike.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He's had a 6-mile line in here to meet and greet him. I don't know where our line is. No, anyway.
It's there somewhere.
Yeah. They're holding the doors open. Yeah. They're in the gym. They're in the dome waiting for us. But the best answer is you guys, you know, and from the podcast, they're not here, but Father Innocent, Father Angelus, Father PT, doing life and music with Father Isaiah. Like, it is, you guys are just really good men. And you're really good men. And you're really good friends. And it is such a gift to, like, this mysterious medicinal gift to get to be brothers with you and to do this with you. And so I'm just extremely grateful. And the second part of that question yesterday was like, who do you like and how do you stay humble here? It's the same answer as you guys as well. I just have this gift of living and doing life with men who are just so much better than me at the stuff that matters, you know? And I'm just grateful for your love. I'm grateful for your patience with me and your fraternity. And for just reminding me who I am in the good and receiving me who I am in the bad. And you guys are just part of this mysterious medicine of the Lord, which reminds me of who I am and makes this journey, although still mysterious, very good, very good, and very joyful. So thank you guys.
And just to Father Angelus or Father Innocent probably would have been like, thanks, bro. Appreciate it, bro.
Don't touch me, bro.
But no, we appreciate you too, Father Mark Mary. I was going to make some short joke. Of course, you look up to us, but I actually just did it. But anyway,
next one.
Thank you. Thanks for your brotherhood and love.
Why Jesus?
Long suffering, right here.
Long suffering. We keep you humble.
So this, our closing prayer is going to be Holy Hunger by Father Isaiah.
And just offer this song for anybody out there who's struggling to be patient right now. Pray that God would surprise you and let you know how pleasing your patience is in his eyes, how pleasing your struggle to be patient is in his eyes, how pleasing you trying to do your lousy best at being patient is in his eyes. Let
Let this poor ark be your mountain. Be your mountain. The mountain where you dwell, oh Lord. Yes, let this poor ark be your mountain. Be your mountain. The mountain where you dwell, oh Lord. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let this hunger become a pathway. Become a pathway that leads you here to me, oh Lord. Let this hunger become a pathway. Become a pathway that leads you here to me, oh Lord. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 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 Fire, fall down, thunder, surround, glory, come down. Fire, fall down, thunder, surround, glory, come down. And let this longing become a love song. Become a love song that you teach my heart to sing, oh Lord. Yes, let this longing become a love song. Become a love song that you teach my heart to sing, oh Lord. And let this desire become a fire. Become a fire burning deep and bright in me, oh Lord. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fire, fall down. Fire, fall down. Thunder, surround. Glory, come down. Fire, fall down. Fire, fall down. Thunder, surround. Glory, come down. Fire, fall down, thunder, surround, glory, come down. There's a fire that burns upon the mountain. There is a cave where the mystery abides. And there is a love that knows no fading splendor, yeah. There is a light that shines through every night, yeah. There's a fire that burns upon the mountain, yeah. There is a cave where the mystery abides, yeah. There is a love that knows no fading splendor, yeah. And there is a light that shines through every night, yeah. Yes, there is a light that shines through every night. This is your love, oh Lord. This is your mystery. This is your fire burning bright. This is your tender love for me. This is your love, oh Lord. This is your mystery. This is your fire burning bright. This is your tender love for me. This is your love for me, oh Lord. This is your mystery burning deep in me. This is your love for me, oh Lord. This is your mystery burning deep in me, oh Lord. This is your love, oh Lord. This is your love, oh Lord. Help me wait for you. Help me wait for you, yeah. In the quiet, oh Lord, you come to me in mystery. Come to me in silence, oh God, in silence. Help me wait for you, oh Lord. Let it be, oh God, let it be, oh God, let it be, oh God, yeah.
Amen. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. For more info on the Seek Conference, visit seek.focus.org. This episode of the Seek 24 podcast was produced by Spoke Street. For more great podcasts, visit spokestreet.com.